Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. A lot of big headlines. Braves win last night. Going to be a busy show. Tom Crean at 8:20 this morning, the Georgia head coach, talk about the Final Four and more. And Rich McKay, Falcons team president, will join us at 9:20 this morning. So a lot to chop up with a couple of the major players in the area later on in the program. Want to get into a little bit of what happened last night with the Hawks and where they stand with three games to go. Let's begin with the game last night against Philadelphia, okay? Trae Young put up another incredible performance and another great, great stat line.
Now Trae Young gets it to John Collins in the middle. Hands it out to Kevin Huerter. Back over to Trae. Left side three. Bang! Trae does it again. A minute 32 remaining. 31 points for Trae Young.
Of course, Steve Holman on the voice of the Hawks on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. As the Hawks knock off the Philadelphia 76ers, Trae Young last night, Hugh, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists. Very close, 3 rebounds away from a triple-double. That set against the fact that the Mavericks lost last night, but Luka had 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. And it got us to wondering a couple of things. Will the last three games of the year possibly decide Rookie of the Year, or is that vote already kind of baked in the cake?
Honestly, John, I think it's kind of baked in the cake. But I think that there are some people that are probably kind of on the fence about which way they're going to go. I think the safest thing to do in this situation now is, because it's been such an entertaining couple of months with seeing Trae Young do what he's been doing, is that the only way that you can make this right, it has to be a co-MVP. I mean, co-Rookie of the Year. Sorry. Thinking about the Greek Freak and James Harden for a minute. But, yeah, I think that's the only way you make it right. It has to be a co-Rookie of the Year. I was about to do it again. Co-Rookie of the Year has to be that way.
Can you just decide that? I mean, it's a vote, right?
I think the fans have some input as far as that's concerned. But if that's the case, John, then I would honestly have to say that probably at this point, Luka Doncic is probably going to get the nod, to be totally honest, because of the way he started the season out. Because he was fresh in the minds of everybody at the beginning of the season. And now with Trae Young getting this surge and going through his growing pains as a Hawk and what we see now, I think a lot of people have probably missed on that because everybody's now gearing up for the playoffs and they're looking at the playoff teams. And it's kind of getting overshadowed with what's going on with the Greek Freak and James Harden. And the fact that James Harden is having one of the best seasons that you can have as a pro, but is that good enough to get you a championship ring? I think that's how the conversation is going as in my world as far as basketball is concerned, and that's what I hear most people talking about, is James Harden and the Greek Freak and this run to see who the MVP is going to be, and can you win a championship with the kind of basketball that James Harden's playing?
Meanwhile, but bring it back to the Rookie of the Year here. I think Trae's going to win it.
And he should be. At this point, John,
your
worst
right,
case scenario, co-Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
worst case scenario.
And I don't know how you come up with co-Rookie, and pardon me for not knowing this, you would think I would know it. I don't know, does the vote have to be tied, I guess? That's why I'm wondering if that's the case, whether the last three games, if Trae goes out, or if one of them goes out and puts up 45, does what Russ did the other day, triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and Trae was close to it last night in a win over Philadelphia. Will that kind of sway things? Now, we're hearing from NBA players are weighing in on all of this. Well, it was about 10 days ago or so, we had a bunch of NBA players weigh in saying, Trae Young's Rookie of the Year, Trae Young's Rookie of the Year. And so they're
starting to, who was it? Can't think of his name. Blake Griffin, yeah. I was about to say the big yellow dude. The big yellow dude from Detroit. That's what I was about to say. Thanks, Daryl. But yeah. Blake Griffin weighed in, and then you had Ben Simmons weigh in.
Right.
I think You know, when Ben Simmons weighed in, it had to do a little bit about the fact that, you know, they've kind of owned the Sixers this year a little
well,
bit.
Well, here it is. Ben Simmons weighed in the other day ahead of this game against the Hawks and said that he believes, Ben Simmons, who was Rookie of the Year last year, says, I believe that Luka Doncic is the Rookie of the Year. And so Chris Kirshner of The Athletic, now remember, that's what Ben Simmons said. And last night, what did Trey do to Ben Simmons? 33-7-12, okay? And beat Philadelphia and that team. Chris Kirshner of The Athletic, after the game last night, talking to Trey Young.
The other day, Ben Simmons was asked who he thought was Rookie of the Year. He quickly said Luka. Yeah. Did you see that, and did it motivate you at all to do what you did tonight?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't really pay too much attention to it. I mean, maybe he thinks differently now. For me, I just try to go out and have fun, compete, and I don't really care what he says.
Yeah, I don't think he does. You don't think he cares what he says?
He said he saw it as a competitor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to go out and show, right?
As he saw, you know, as a competitor, you see something like that and you're like, oh, for real? Okay. And you know it. And knowing that I'm about to see you on the court, okay, I'm going to show you a little something. That's how it is, man. And I appreciate, you know, Trey for trying to take the high road. But sometimes, you know, it's okay to be petty. It's okay to let people know that you read the paper and it's motivated you. It has motivated you. So, yeah, I think it motivated him a little bit.
You know, the thing about it is with Trae Young and Luka, they're both great players, right? I mean, they both are great players, and they're going to be great players for the NBA. And their rivalry, whatever it becomes, is going to exist for the remainder for a number of years, for a decade or more, right?
Yes.
Now, the thing is that Trae Young, the one thing Trae Young is, he's a point guard, as we all know. And so he distributes the basketball, and that's what makes him kind of separates him out a little bit. But when you stop and think about watching the game a little bit last night, flipping back and forth between the Hawks and the Braves, I was thinking about this. Trae Young has his signature move is this floater in the lane, right? The one he's been hitting game winners with. He's got that. He's got the stop and pop. He's got the crossover. He's got the step back deep three. He hit a couple of Steph Curry-like threes last night. I mean, way behind the line.
And you're talking about not only that, he's being compared to a Steph Curry.
Right, and the pick and roll lobs with Collins. They must have hit a half a dozen of those last night. Those two are in concert. Collins had a nice game too, but it was really all about Trae. I mean, Trae Young owned the court. Owned it.
Yeah, but I think the problem is this, John. Trey got off to a rough start in training camp. He got off to a rough start on the court, and it took him a while to get comfortable at this level. And there were times where, you know, you could tell he had a good game one night, then he kind of fell off a little bit, fell back, and now you could tell that he's grown accustomed to the long season, and he's starting to play a lot better. Down the stretch, he's played a lot better, and he thrust himself into the Rookie of the Year conversation. But I think the problem is that Luka Doncic got off to a quicker start, and that's the person that people remember. And this is not me saying that Trae Young is not deserving. I think he's deserving. But when you look at the way that people watch basketball and what people see, they remember him at the beginning of the season. You can make an argument that Trae Young really didn't catch fire till after the All-Star break. That's when he really, like, when people saw him, he was out there, and you saw, like, this kid
I would say nationally,
play.
Yes. I mean, we knew that, yes. that he had caught fire before then.
That's the
then,
problem,
but,
though, John.
Yeah,
we knew that. Right. We knew that. Nationally, they didn't know that. Nationally, Luka Doncic was the guy that you saw on SportsCenter every night. Oh, my God, this rookie's great. And even to that point, John, we had people here in Atlanta that felt that Trae Young – was not the guy that we needed. They didn't like Trae Young. They thought it was a bad pick. And Travis Lee even alluded to that about how people felt early on that they got the wrong guy or he wasn't ready. And if you're being true to yourself, Atlanta fans, a lot of you felt the same way because my timeline would blow up people talking about Trae Young and how this was a bad pick. We should have got Luka Doncic.
All right, let me ask you a question here just out of curiosity. Let's say that none of the draft picks in this year's draft are available. Take Zion and everybody out. Okay, there's nobody there. You're the Knicks, and you get the ping pong balls, and you have the number one pick. And the top two guys in the draft are Luka Doncic and Trae Young right now. Which one would you choose if you had the
number
one?
If you're the Knicks, yep. It all depends on what your basketball philosophy is. And I would say this. To answer your question, John, I think that the Knicks would take Luka Doncic.
And I think that'd be a mistake.
Okay, but that's fine. that's fine. And I like the fact that you're riding for Atlanta. But you're asking me.
Because point guards are at a – I mean, point guard –
He's a throwback, John. Like, to be totally honest, he is a throwback point guard where a lot of people felt that in the beginning of the season that he was not right for this team. Like, they didn't feel like he was that guy. You're seeing Travis Link, what he's done is he's got a guy here that's the old school dinosaur type guy that's going to facilitate. He's going to get everybody else involved. Scoring for him is secondary, mm-hmm. but he's going to try to get everybody else involved. You would talk to a lot of people before the beginning of the season, and they were like, no, that's not what point guards do. You know, point guards are shooters and da-da-da-da-da. You know, they take over. Old school point guards used to get everybody else involved.
Right.
Like Magic Johnson and those cats. Those are old point guards I remember. So they're trying to build – like, he knew what he was doing when he got Trae Young. Like, his skill set – I think that it's harder to find guys – that have his mentality and his skill set to play the point. You can always get a big dude. You can get a big dude to play. It's like you got to get that old school point guard that's going to get everybody involved. Perfect example that I go to. You look at Chris Paul and what Chris Paul was with the Clippers. Look at how he got everybody else involved. They used to call him the point guy. What is he in Houston right now? What is he in Houston? A guy. A guy. James Harden comes down. James Harden scoring like 40 or some points. Chris Paul just there. Like he's just out there. So I think that Trae Young, they're trying to build this thing the old-fashioned way. A lot of ball movement. A lot of him getting everybody else involved, getting the bigs involved, and the fact that they want bigs that can shoot perimeter shots.
Talking about Trae Young in the Rookie of the Year after another sterling performance last night, 33 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds, nearly a triple-double for Trae in the interesting battle that takes place between he and Luka on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line this morning from the 770. This coming into us, Atlanta's making a big deal because they could have taken either Luka or Trae in the draft. Well, actually, they did take Luka. Let's not forget, who was Atlanta's draft pick? It was Luka Doncic. They selected Luka Doncic, turned around, and had him for, I don't know, 15 minutes on the Atlanta Hawks and traded him to the Dallas Mavericks for Trae and Dallas's number one this year, which is why we've been making so much of a deal about this number one pick for Dallas and trying to keep him out of the top five, and hopefully they don't get a ping pong ball that drops them into the top five, because if Dallas does not have a top five pick, if they have 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, Atlanta gets the pick, and they'll have two top eight picks, and the Hawks will have won this trade in a rout, because they'll get not only Trae Young, because, I mean, if they're 50-50 and co-rookie of the year, and suddenly you get the number one pick of Dallas on top of that, okay, you win.
I think that, honestly, John, it's a push, because I think that with both of these teams that you're talking about, they got who they needed for their team. You know, you talk about Dirk Nowitzki getting ready to retire probably this year or next year. Who knows? And to have a big man going out there doing what he's doing, a European player doing what he's doing, and what Dirk Nowitzki has meant to that Dallas team, I think they got the right guy. I think as far as the young player that Trae is in the type of basketball and the type of style that he plays in the city of Atlanta, I think his style fits better. I just think it does, because you're starting to see flashes of Trae Young being a star. A flashy player. I don't want to say flashy player in the sense that, like, that has a negative connotation, but a guy that's going to put butts in the seats.
Well, I think it goes beyond that, though, and this is why we were talking about it when we got into a free agency yesterday. What I think Trae does beyond that, and you're right, you're right. He puts butts in the seats. He's become the face of the franchise. He's personable. He smiles. Everybody's starting to like Trae. The Hawks have a winner on their hands. But beyond that, I also think because he is a point guard, look, the Mavericks went out and got Kristaps Porzingis, right, that dude, to go with Luka Doncic. We see what they want to do. But if you're a free agent, Atlanta becomes so attractive to you because he's a point guard. Luka doesn't make you better. Luka is Luka, and you got to be you. Trae makes you better.
It all depends. And John, you're preaching to the choir. That's the philosophy that the Atlanta Hawks have. I think that's what they want. They want that to happen. But you got to find the right guys that want to be here. You have to find the right guys that want to be here. That's why when you talk about, we always talk about Klay Thompson and the perfect fit that he would be. Now, that all depends on what Klay Thompson actually wants if he does decide to leave Golden State. But you have to find the guy. You have to find the right guys. You have to.
Of course you do. It just makes it more attractive to come to Atlanta when you got a guy like.
You would think so, but it's like, you know, Atlanta's has some decent players here, and it's still kind of hard to get free agents. But hopefully, Trey will be the guy that changes all of that.
It is a very busy, interesting Thursday. Tom Crean at 8:20, Rich McKay at 9:20, president of the Falcons and Georgia head basketball coach. We'll catch up on some of the headlines in the NFL, including Bob Kraft and what Bob Kraft, the Patriots coach, Patriots owner, is doing now to try to save his name. It ain't going to work. If you are a fan of the National Football League, you want to be here at 9:20 in 2 hours when Falcons team president Rich McKay enters the arena. And we're going to talk a lot of things with Rich McKay at 9:20 this morning. But in the meantime, we have
Rich got some explaining to do.
Explaining?
He got some explaining. I'm confused. Got some things I'm confused about.
All right, we'll have to get into that in a moment. First, because I got to find out what that's about. Bob Kraft. I know. It's like, you know what? He's a punchline. You know, that's all it is. You know, the joke is set up by the comedian, blah, 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 Bob Kraft. He's a punchline. He's Pee Wee Herman. I mean.
Wow. Didn't know you were going to go there with that one.
Well, Pee Wee, I'll give Pee Wee credit. The first public, I don't know if you remember this, the first public appearance of Pee Wee Herman after all of that movie theater nonsense, he comes out on stage in the first public appearance, and he smarmily looks at the camera and says, heard any good jokes lately?
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember that. And everybody laughed. You talk about a tension breaker. He broke the tension with that one.
Yeah,
he definitely broke the tension.
That was actually a great moment for him. But Bob Kraft isn't doing that so much. Bob Kraft is throwing lawyer after lawyer after lawyer after lawyer at the NFL and at the Orchids, and actually at the DA down in Florida, with one intention: to overwhelm them. Bob Kraft is intent upon spending $10 million in legal fees to stop a minor fine here. He's shutting this down all he can.
I tell you what, when I saw this, I thought to myself, I was like, wow. That's amazing what money can buy you, because that's exactly what I thought, John. It's like you're talking about all you got to do is plead guilty to this, and you know this goes away. But for him, it's a lot deeper than that, because you're talking about your legacy, you're talking about your name being tarnished and everything like that. And he's going to fight this to the end. And you know what? This is eerily similar to. Remember the whole Deflategate thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they decided to, at one point, cooperate with the NFL, and then all of a sudden he changed his mind and they fought it tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing. He's the type of guy, it feels like, that he's the type of guy, he has so much money that he kind of feels that his money can make anything go away.
Right.
And I think that's what he's trying to do. Because the story that I read, he was basically talking about how their surveillance was obtained through illegal measures. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, wasn't this a part of a sting involved with human trafficking?
Yes.
And they were trying to see, and for him to do this, I was like, wow. That's the first thing I thought, John, was like, money, if you have enough money, you can fight anything.
Yeah,
even if you have the smoking gun, if you have the right attorneys, you can fight anything.
So what Kraft is doing now is he's trying to argue through his attorneys, and I think it's going to be, to me, it's, you know, just broadly, it seems an unsuccessful argument, but I think what he's trying to do is overwhelm the system with so much stuff that they just say, okay, enough of this, just go away, which is what they're trying, I think what Kraft is trying to do. Because Kraft is a side player in the story. What you just said, Hugh, is correct. Kraft's attorneys are coming and saying it's an illegal sting, you can't set up these cameras, and the feds are going to go, this has nothing to do with you. Bob Kraft was not the target of this.
Yeah.
The Johns themselves, all 24 that have been charged, were not the targets of this. They just happened to be, they were the drug buyers. We're going after the drug house and the drug dealers. That's who we're targeting, these sex traffickers, these human traffickers. The fact that you wandered in or Joe Smith or John Doe walked in doesn't matter. It's just that we're going after these people. So I think he has no leg to stand on, just from my kind of standpoint here. But he's going to try and overwhelm them, Hugh, with so many legal fees that the DA is just going to go, look, we got to go after these traffickers, and we're going to dispense with the
Johns. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense of what you're saying, John, because everybody else that was involved with this, they had court dates the same day that Robert Kraft had court dates. And I think that they just took the fine and kept it moving. He, on the other hand, it's going to be a situation where it feels like this situation is that it's going to become one of those things for Florida is how much is this going to cost us to keep prosecuting this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's clear that Robert Kraft is like, you know what? My pockets are deep. I'm going to fight this.
And he can, and he could afford to.
And Florida's probably going to look at him like, you know what, man, bye.
He's not going to get what he wants out of this because he will always be viewed. I'm sorry, Hugh. He is guilty in the court of public opinion, and it will never change.
Especially if you're fighting it as hard as you are.
Yes.
But when you think about everything that has happened to him from the time of the Super Bowl up until this point, the only reason that we are still really talking about this story is because he does something that keeps it out there.
Well, there's that. Plus, you know, we haven't heard what Roger Goodell is going to do in terms of a suspension. Plus, it does set up, you wonder a little bit, what are the ramifications here? We've been wondering when, because here we are, think about this from a football perspective. We just came off another Patriots Super Bowl win, and we keep wondering, when does this incredible run, and credit to them,
hasn't ended yet.
Hadn't ended yet, and it's been maybe the most remarkable run in the history of professional sports, given the time period and the constraints that are put on people in the NFL and how the NFL is designed to be a game of parity among all of its 32 franchises. When does this magical run end? And is this the moment, the Bob Kraft story happened to be the signifier of the moment that the Patriots' dominance ended? And so I don't know that. You can argue that it doesn't change anything on the field or change anything in the front office, which, of course, is a valid argument. And they continue to win despite of this. But, boy, it just seems there's something wrong in Shangri-La. And, they've weathered these, like you said, Hugh, it's a good point. They weathered Spygate. They weathered Deflategate. And they weathered, Tom Brady being suspended. They weathered TB12. They've weathered an awful lot in that franchise.
Yeah, they have. And he's going to try to do this. I think this is more about his name or the fact that he's in denial about what actually happened.
He's apologized for it publicly.
Or he doesn't want those tapes to get out. But those tapes are coming out. It's only a matter of time.
Right.
You're going to have your day in the sun. And I think that's what he's more worried about is how many clicks and downloads he's going to get for whatever he did in the Golden Orchid. Or what is it called? The
Orchids of Asia.
Whatever he did in the Golden Orchid.
Wait a second. I want to go back to something you said. Rich McKay. What has Rich McKay got any explaining to do to us?
Oh, when we talk to Rich, I'll tell him. I'll ask him. That was what they call a tease in radio. I'm learning. See, I've been here long enough. I better pick up something. I've been here long enough to start picking up something.
It'll be our first chance to talk to Rich McKay after all the rules changes.
Since the last time we talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna talk to him like that though. Let me go ahead and back that down a little bit.
Do you think I could ask him? Hey, did Chief Weiner Swamper stomp his feet in the room and demand that?
I don't think you can say it like that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure that Rich know where we going. I know. I'm pretty sure Rich is a smart dude, and it's like it's nothing that. Put it like this. We're not going to blindside him with anything that we're going to ask him. But I got some questions. I got some questions and some concerns I got, Rich. If you're listening to the show right now, Rich, you got some explaining to do. I need to know.
Blindsides were voted out by the competition.
Yeah, they're now illegal. That was pretty big.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they didn't change the overtime rule. That's one of the things I wonder, because they're going to have another meeting in May. Just because they didn't change the rule doesn't mean they can't go back and change it in May. I mean, so we still have, next month they're having another meeting, and they could vote then to change the rule then. So we're not maybe done with the rules changes for this year, and Rich will join us at 9:20 this morning talking about a lot with the competition committee as we look forward to, the Falcons reporting and getting ready for. By the way, this is not anything I care about to get in with Rich, but with you, did you see there was some headline? I think it was D-Led. And the question, or at least the AJC.
Shout out to the OG D-Led.
I got to make sure that I don't know if it's D-Led or if it's just the AJC. There was a question, would Grady Jarrett show up for some of the OTAs?
I think he will.
I do too.
I think he's a stand-up guy. It all depends. No, I think he'll be there. I think he will be there. I can't see him. I can't see Grady being the guy that holds out. I can't see that.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as that guy.
Nah, he doesn't. He doesn't. But listen, he's probably – I don't know how he's feeling after being franchise tagged either. That might make him feel some kind of way, especially when we've been screaming brotherhood for like the last, what, three seasons, four seasons, going on four?
Well, I think especially if you believe Arthur Blank, which I do, when Arthur says, you know, hey, we're going to make Julio and Grady Falcons for life, and I also believe the fact that they are ongoing negotiations. I mean, the last thing you want to do is hold out if you got ongoing negotiations that are going on.
You know what? Since I've been here in Atlanta, it's been pretty good. The Falcons have been pretty forthcoming and honest about the moves that they make. They don't come across to me as a shady organization.
They're not.
So I think that when Mr. Blank says what he says, I think it's going to get done.
How many holdouts have we had? Julio, that was about it, right? And it was one whole day.
That was a day. Yeah, they don't strike me as a shady organization, man. So yeah, I think that Mr. Blank at this point, he just wants, you know, to try to get his guys, you know, his core guys taken care of and win a championship.
We are knocking on the door as the Final Four gets ready to go. Auburn fans starting to get a little tense, aren't you, Auburn fans? War damn Eagle. Yeah, you are. I can tell who you are. I got a lot of Auburn friends. You're starting to get that tight collar. Yeah, baby. So are you Wahoo fans, too. All right, Sparty and Texas Tech as well, but I know less of them than I know the other. All right, that's all I know. Peek ahead to the Final Four ahead with John and Hugh on what – do you know what today is? Oh, you know what today – I got to tell you what you're having for lunch next. On Sports Radio 99 The Game, 99thegame.com.
Hit shot, score!
United are back in action.
As they kick off season three,
catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion, Atlanta United, play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday. Looks like a beautiful day outside. Hopefully we get a little bit of rain tonight.
I like this song, man. It just makes me tickle.
Knock some of that yellow down. You do like this song.
I do. I just like it. I was telling my son about it yesterday, and he was like, dude, you like that song? I just like the beat. I just really like the beat and the fact that, you know, the country music, they took it off the country music charts, which I thought was kind of funny.
Why did they take it off the country music charts?
Because they said it wasn't country music.
Oh.
They basically said it was not, it was more of a rap song. But if you look, some of the country that I've heard kind of sounds like this. It's gotten a little bit more upbeat. And things of that nature. So I thought it was kind of ironic that they took it off the charts. But, yeah, I kind of like the song.
If you're just jumping into your car at 8:20 this morning, in about 35, 40 minutes from now, Tom Crean, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, will join us. We'll talk about what's in store for Georgia going forward in basketball, the rise of the SEC. And one thing I could tell you from my dealings with Tom over the last 20 years is that he used to be one of the college basketball experts we used when I was on the network. And Tom is a really good analyst. Matter of fact, he's a great analyst. And so we'll get his impressions of the Final Four. We'll do that at 8:20 this morning with Tom Crean. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk a little Final Four coming up top of the hour. But today and I tweeted this out earlier, and I'm just kind of curious from your point of view. Today's National Burrito Day.
Burrito!
Okay, so Burrito Day.
Put some hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
Now, are you – now, I had never seen these kind of new school burritos that they have.
Talking about the Chipotle, the burrito?
We got them fancy new Chipotle restaurants up there.
Boy, them big old burritos. You can't eat them in one sitting.
And the Chipotle has this. No.
Abe's, they eat one in one sitting.
I can eat a Chipotle burrito easy.
Man, there's some big burritos, man.
Oh, that thing is gone.
Big old burrito.
I could eat plus the bag of chips. All that and the bag of chips.
I marvel. I'm fascinated by how they are able to fold those burritos, put all that stuff in it, and still be able to fold it. Like, that to me is an art. I mean, I guess you got to kind of learn how to do that. Because it's a certain way that you fold a burrito.
They professionals.
Yeah. No, seriously. Think about it. When you watch them fold that burrito, they put all that stuff in there, and then they fold it.
Flap it and this and that.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
That's pretty cool. Cool.
So, no, but I was asking on my Twitter at John Fricke, and I'm asking you, are you one of these? Because I had never seen anything like a Willie's, a Moe's, a Chipotle burrito where they had this thing, this white ricey thingy, you know, whatever they make, you know, this big gigantic. I had never seen anything like that until, it kind of popped on the scene, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago or so. And whenever Chipotle really kind of, you know, went national, to me, burritos were always something that just were, yeah, beans in them, right, you know? But every now and then, even with these new ones, and I love them, every now and then, I get the serious hankering for an old-school Taco Bell Burrito Supreme.
No, I do too, man. Every now and then, I will go to Taco Bell. And I, you know, I hope my trainer ain't listening. And I get me a 12-pack of tacos and just sit in the crib, get me enough sauce, get like, and go, when you leave out, get grab a handful of the sauce, the mild sauce, and sit at the crib and just crush, like,
put some hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
You know what I mean? Just put some hot sauce on it and just crush them. I know that a lot of people feel that that's not real meat. The taco meat that they use at Taco Bell is not real meat. It does not matter. I think it does not matter.
It's real meat.
I heard it's not real meat.
Come on, it's real meat.
they say it, they call it all kind of different stuff.
No, it's real meat. I worked at the Taco Bell. I worked at Taco Bell for 2 days. There was a Taco Bell on Church Street in Decatur. Okay, now you know. So, and I worked there for 2 days. I quit only because I couldn't stand working there no more.
Every now and then I will do that.
It was real meat.
And every now and then, like I've said before, I will go eat some ramen noodles because I think it's important to keep things in perspective, because when I was in college, that kept me alive. And if anybody, for you, you never forget where you came from. You never forget where you came from. So I think that everybody at one point should go back and have a day where you eat either Taco Bell or some highly salty ramen noodles. And you should, if you want to go back real old school, you get one of them little cooking pots, you know, them little hot pots that you put on top of your, like the little heating pads, little heating coil, put the water in there and make your noodles that way, just to keep everything in perspective.
What must millennials think of people like, you know, you and me when we start talking about stuff like, you know, do millennials even eat meatloaf?
No, or Spam.
I mean, would they eat, you know, the stuff that we grew up on, tuna casserole, you know? My mom used to take tuna casserole, noodles, and tuna, and peas, and potato chips, and
Vienna sausage,
cream of mustard, mushroom soup. Right?
You know, I tell my son all the time, like he has a very picky palate when it comes to eating. He doesn't eat at certain places, and I tell him all the time. I say, boy, when you go to school, you're gonna wish that whatever your mother cooked, you're gonna wish you had it. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay. You're about to find out.
No kidding. You're about to find out.
Because you're going to school. You're going to find out. You're going to find out what that struggle is.
Yeah, either that or he's going to be the serious case of the freshman 15, because all he's going to eat is
15
pizza.
Pounds. Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to do a little 15, bit of that. Right?
But you know what the funny thing about it? No matter how, and it's a good thing as a parent.
Does he like ramen noodles?
Nah, he's never had ramen noodles. He doesn't eat that
stuff. He got to do cup of noodles because that's what his diet is going to consist of.
No matter how bad we had it, they're never going to have it like us, which is a good thing because that's, you know, as a parent, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put them in a better spot. He's not going to know what it is to eat ramen noodles.
Yeah,
because his mother's going to send him a care package all the time.
I wondered about whether or not the millennials understand. Now, look, you guys that are in your 20s and 30s, you guys are so much luckier than we were. Because when we grew up, like when I would go to a Braves game, and you know this, when you went to baseball games or when you ever went to something, or Daryl or anybody, when I was young and we go to Fulton County Stadium, what were your options? You had a chicken sandwich, a hamburger, a hot dog, popcorn, and fries. And that was pretty much it. At every concession stand, you know, maybe a pretzel, cotton candy and a pretzel. That was it. What did they have? That's what, nothing else? Nope. Matter of fact, I remember going to old Texas Stadium and seeing nachos at a baseball game for the first time. Just chips, you know, processed cheese out of a thing and jalapenos. I went, they sell nachos at a baseball game. Whoever, this is probably 1980, going, whoever thought of that? You know?
Yeah. But I think it's important, man. Like I said, you know, my man James Reese just chimed in. He said he's not eating no ramen noodles. I'm not going to eat them now because the sodium content is so high. As you get older, that sodium stick with you when you get a little older. But back then, boy, you cut up some little hot dogs in there, some Vienna sausages. Boy, that's a meal. That carried you through the meal, especially when the calf was closed. Because when I went to school, we didn't have the calf stay open 24 hours a day. And you could just go in there and eat whenever you wanted to. We didn't have a Rathskeller. They got one now. But no, I didn't have it like that now. Didn't have a Rathskeller.
Yeah, you guys, gals are so spoiled.
So spoiled.
Yeah, you know.
And you can call home and say, Mom, can I have some money? Yeah, baby, I got you. I used to call home.
I mean, they have
like,
food.
Can I get some money?
They have food courts. They have food courts in the dorms. Food courts in the dorms.
No, they have restaurants. They have, like, actual fast food restaurants on some campuses.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They got a food court. I mean, like you're at the mall, you know, they've got a payway and a you know, a Starbucks and
what's
a this
that,
and
the
a
424,
that.
The noodle spot. Now they ain't eating the ramen noodles. They eating them fancy 424 noodles.
Yeah, you know, and I do love pho. I have to say, it is wonderful.
What's it called?
Pho.
It's called
pho. Pronounced pho. It's Vietnamese,
okay.
And it's fabulous.
Okay, gotcha.
Because the Vietnamese restaurants that we would go to, I am a pho fan. Yes, I have to say, I'm not gonna lie. All right, coming up, we're going to have some serious Final Four discussion. We get set for the big games Saturday in Minneapolis. In the next hour, our breakdown, you're jumping in. I want to hear from some Auburn fans, some Texas Tech fans, Michigan State fans, and Wahoo fans about your chances. Are you nervous yet? We'll do that ahead of Tom Crean joining us live. That's all ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.